You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more. Tommy, Oilers in Seattle tonight. Stuart Skinner, where he was very good in the preseason there, stopped 39-41. Also, Puljujärvi and Yamamoto swapping lines. Puljujärvi's now with McDavid, or sorry, with Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, and Yamamoto is with Hyman and McDavid. Just another opportunity. Dave Tippett's been kind of rotating those right wingers around for a bit.
Yeah, he has been. And the other thing, too, is people were saying, oh, finally get Zach Cassian out of the top six. Get Zach Cassian out of the top six. Listen, we all know he was just moonlighting up there for a few games. It was nothing permanent. And now you've got the two guys that you expect to be in your top six on the right side. Experimenting with something a little bit different. Yamamoto with McDavid this time around. Puljujärvi with Draisaitl. I like it. This feels like a game, at least it sets up as one where you could get away with trying some things. The team's playing well despite injuries on the back end. Both goalies are giving you a chance to win on most nights, and then the fact that you have the two best, most prolific offensive stars in the league helps a ton, obviously, too. So this will be an interesting little thing to see. And then Yamamoto, I'm sure, will be motivated. He's playing in his home state. He's got, what, I think 48 family and friends coming to watch him play tonight. Daniel Nugent Bowman was reporting earlier today. So, and Derek Ryan as well. Obviously, we'll have family and friends. So, yeah, he'll be pumped up. He's going to be playing with the best player in the world. And this is an opportunity for him to kind of continue to get it going. Scored a nice goal the other night, Griggs. And so we'll see if the tinkering proves to be fruitful. And you know what? It's been working lately. So if you're an Oilers fan, you're hoping it does continue tonight and all is well.
Stretti asked an interesting question because the Oilers are on the road tonight and you don't get the changes you want. How many minutes does Nieminen line in play?
Oh boy. So he's insinuating that you can limit him and Broberg, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go with eight, but I only say that if things are looking dicey or it's a tight game. If the Oilers get a lead and look like they're playing well and things are going all right, I think Dave Tippett will try to roll four lines, three sets of defense, and even things out a little bit heading into Sunday's game. So my safe guess is eight, but if things are going right, I'll bump it up to like 12 or 13. Is that okay?
Yeah, if they're winning, you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's a big if, because on the road, that's where they've had struggles, especially getting the first goal of the game. And you look at November and the amount of times they got scored on first. So I think that's a bit of an if. But yeah, if it's not going so well, around eight. And then if it's going well and Tippett can roll, you know, 12 or 13 minutes, I think, is reasonable.
Okay. Ooh, all right. Yeah, I think he's going to stay around what he played in Edmonton, which was I think just like 10 minutes, 10, 11. I think now it's a second game, so he'll probably feel a little bit more comfortable. And here's the thing. That, you know what? Now the more I think about it, Seattle, they're more of a grinding team than Pittsburgh, right? Especially with Eberle and Schwartz out of the lineup. You look at how Seattle's going to play. It might be more of a game that's suited for Niemelainen and a little bit more contact, which I think plays into his hands a little bit more. So, you know what? Maybe 11 or 12. I might, now that I think about it, might be, you might be onto something there, Tommy. So, we'll see how that goes. But, I do want to get to the whole Seattle power play. And like the Oilers power play, obviously it's still number one in the league, but I put this in quotations, only 23% since November 9th. They've kind of slowed down a little bit in that time span. Seattle leads the NHL at 34.5%. So you got to be leery of this power play.
Yeah, and surprisingly, without some of its big guns, you mentioned no Eberle, no Schwartz, but you know what? If there's a plan in place and the strategy on the power play is there and the guys know how to execute, and then with, like you said, the hardworking dig in the blue paint and the crease area type of mentality, you know, you score ugly goals, they count just as much as the pretty ones too. So you've got guys on the point that can get pucks through, know how to work a power play. Obviously, Giordano also out. He's in COVID protocol. So that kind of doesn't help as well when it comes to the Kraken. But you know, if the common goal, everyone understands what it takes to get those goals on the power play, and it's clicking, and these guys have a rhythm going, they do still have some really skilled guys that I think can make it happen. I've always liked Mason Appleton. I like Alex Wenberg. He's highly skilled, obviously. You got a guy like Yanni Gourde, who just knows how to get it done and did it for the last couple of years in Tampa. So there are skilled players. Brandon Tanev's off to a great start, and we all know he's not the flashiest, most skilled guy in the league. He works hard and hustles for every point he gets, and determination and grit still go a long way. And this Kraken team, despite its injuries and woes that way, if they're going to out-hustle and outwork you, especially with an extra guy on the ice, you know, generally they'll be rewarded. And that's probably what's leading to their power play having success. So they're on home ice. They're going to be fired up. It's a Friday night game going into the weekend. You know, I expect them to bring their best, whether it's on 5-on-5 play, special teams. But, you know, can't take this team lightly. And the Oilers' PK, which has been solid all season, will be tested, Greg. So be leery of that. Don't take stupid penalties. And when you do take a penalty, be sharp, because it can bite you in the butt.
Slavin Gazzola joins us on Empted Sports Leader TSN 1260. Oilers taking on Seattle tonight, 8 o'clock start. Tommy and Connor will have the pregame show coming up at 6 o'clock. A few other things, Tommy. I don't know about, like, I don't know how many people out there listening have followed closely the Brian Kelly, not the Elks, Hall of Famer, but Kelly, he's the head coach of Notre Dame. And right before bowl week, he bails on his team. Like, you want to talk about gutless, like how NCAA, they preach about players, you got to be loyal to the team. This guy bails before a bowl game. Give me a break. What a joke. And now he goes to LSU. Like, why did he have to do it then? Why couldn't he have just waited till it's over? Give him the job behind the scenes, that say nothing, and away you go. Clearly shows that, you know, he didn't, as much as he claims he cares, he didn't care that much.
Yeah.
But the thing I find the most hilarious is suddenly now he's in LSU and he's talking like he's got an accent. What's going on?
I don't know, but it's ridiculous. And the fact that you brought up that tweet earlier today that had the perfect breakdown of his regular voice from a couple of days ago when he had his final meeting with the guys from Notre Dame, to when he addressed the crowd at a game at LSU after being introduced as the head coach, and all of a sudden he's got a twang in his voice.
No.
Greg's, you know, you bring up the timing, the questionable character of it, and all of that, and then this is just it's the cherry on top, because you're like, what kind of dude is this, where you have heard him in press conferences, millions of people have, for years with Notre Dame, and then all of a sudden he shows up in the South and he's got an accent, and it's so forced. To me, it's like, okay, what is this guy? Is he truly a coach that gets his team to play well, or is he a guy that can just run a program that recruits some of the best players in the U.S. and is able to put them into a system where it's just automatic, they're pretty darn good? And, you know, you talk about character, heart, being true to yourself. He's not ticking those boxes right now, that's for sure, Greggs. And if people haven't checked it out, you tweeted it out. It's absolutely hilarious. Someone cut the videos together with the audio, and you're like, how did this guy all of a sudden get a Southern drawl?
Oh,
it's ridiculous and hilarious.
It is very, very hilarious. So what's coming up on the pregame show, extended edition, 6 to 8 tonight, Tommy?
Yes, sir. Another magical 8 o'clock start. So we got 2 hours. We're going to have our good buddy DVD stop by. DVD was, you know, he's down in Seattle right now, and he's covering this game, obviously, and he'll give us a sense of how things have changed hockey-wise in that market. He used to cover the Medicine Hat Tigers. He would be in that building when it was the Key Arena back in the day, and he was covering the Thunderbirds and the Tigers, and so he'll give us a sense, kind of make it make sense to folks here in good old our town. So DVD will get us up to speed, and then we've got a round table coming up with Joaquin Gage and Low Tide. So lots of good stuff tonight, even though it's an extended show on a weekend. We'll keep you company and make sure it's entertaining for sure.
Awesome, Tommy. Have a good one.
Have a great weekend, Greggs.